Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Years ago, and I just had an allergic reaction to something. I was like 5 years old, and my perspective was just that my eyes were itching a lot, and it got to the point that I stopped playing with my friends, and I went home to complain to my mother that my eyes were itching. And I always remember she's in the living room, and I just got, you know, the straight-up scream. She did not stay calm at all. The way she explained, like, I wasn't bleeding out of my eyes. She just said my eyes had swollen so big, it looked like they were popping out of my head.
Like a thyroid.
Yeah, like a thyroid or a frog or whatever. And I remember she freaked out, which made me nervous. Then I started crying because I'm like, oh, my God, what's wrong? They never let me look in the mirror, so I don't know how ridiculous it looked. But as far as, you know, try to be calm.
Do you know what caused the reaction?
I'm not sure, man, but I think because we were kind of... We weren't in the woods at this time, but it was kind of a field. And the only thing I could think that I saw that seems like I may have done this is something I've been around a million times since then. But it's, what do they say? It looks like a blade of grass. They grow in little clumps together, but they get like 3-4 feet tall and they have those fuzzy caterpillar looking fronds on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
About a pussy willow?
Maybe, but it wasn't. Pussy willow's a tree, right?
No. Oh, it's like that long hot dog looking thing on it.
That's kind of fuzzy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I can remember that was there, but we lived in Rochester at the time. They were every freaking where, and that's the only time I had a reaction. Maybe there was something else out there, some other weed, but it was nothing I saw or can remember, but she freaked out bad on that. And then the first injury I had, it looked worse than it was. So roughly about the same age, lived in the same house. We're playing hide-and-go-seek, and I'm running from my... He found me, and I'm trying to run back to home base or however that thing plays out. But I'm kind of looking behind me, and when I turned around to keep running, I ran into his parents, the back of his parents' station wagon, but they had a bike rack that had a little hooks that come out, and it cut me under my eye, right? But I immediately grabbed my eye. I'm crying, as kids do, and there's blood coming through my hand. So when I went into the house at that time, it's the exact same reaction. She freaks out. My father, luckily, he was there. He's kind of calm because he always is. And when they kind of wiped the blood away, he's like, man, it's just a cut. Like, I didn't have to go to the hospital for it. But she was not good at keeping it together in times that it would have been really nice for her to keep it together.
Grandfather, I've told this story
before.
It's not
a mom's strong suit.
Obviously, my wife does pretty well in that, at least up front, right? She will she'll be very calm for the kids, and then she'll call me over, and then I will stay calm, and then she will go elsewhere and either call 911 if we need that. Or cry if she needs that, or throw up. But at least initially, for the kid's sake, she stays calm until she's out of eyesight.
My grandfather, he was swinging me around, and both my shoulders popped out of socket. So he was holding me by the hands and spinning. And I was like, pop, pop. And I'm like, and I could barely even scream.
So you do remember this.
And he's still spinning me around. And I think he could see the look on my face, like, you know, and I think he felt it. Because it was like one after the other.
You got a little farther away?
So end up going to the ER, and I'm probably like in third, fourth grade, whatever the deal is. They put him back in. I don't remember really being that painful.
Them popping him back in?
Once they were in, it just felt like nothing happened. You know, like it felt like, because I was like 3 days later, I'm at Little League practice. And so basically just, you know, meet up with your friends, you get down, you have your practice. We played maybe one or two games a year. But at this time, One of my buddy's younger sisters had been attacked by one of the dogs that ran free in the neighborhood. And all she got bit pretty bad. I think the dog bit her on the face and her neck and her shoulder and everything else. She got pretty tore up. But her brother played baseball with me. And so we were both equally, and we lived pretty close. So when we walked home, we were equally paranoid about walking just home at that point in time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know for a fact that the family was addressed about their dog, and from what I understand, the guy who owned the dog and owned the house did not care.
Back in that time, they
didn't care.
That's
generally how it goes.
So, they do not care.
So we were still on alert that the dog was not on a leash, or we knew the dog was still free roaming and had already attacked his sister, blah, 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 blah. So my grandfather, he says, well, I'll give you a ride home or whatever the deal is. Well, this is like 2 or 3 days later after you pop my shoulders out. So I'm still kind of scared because I'm like, I don't even know if I can defend myself.
Yeah.
He walked down. And we were about a half mile away from where the practice was. And my grandfather walked me and my buddy back. And the dogs came out again. And my grandfather was a post office employee. He was a postman for his entire
life. So he already knows how to deal with this crap.
It was like Obi-Wan Kenobi. And we hadn't, I mean, I don't think Star Wars, maybe it was out, I don't know. But, I mean, he just had this way of stopping that dog about 50 feet away from us. And the dog just kind of put its tail between its legs and ran home. And it was the damnedest thing I've ever, and, you know, later on, because my grandparents were retired, they'd spend, you know.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Weeks at a time with us
and
hang out and everything else. I come home one day, he's petting the dog.
The dog that attacked.
Yeah, on the front porch. And from that point in time on, we never had a problem with that dog anymore. It was the damnedest thing, man. I just remember the sequence of events. Buddy's sister gets basically her face half ripped off. He takes out both of my shoulder blades. And next thing you know, he's sitting on the damn porch petting the dog that basically destroyed my buddy's sister's face.
I don't understand. Like, dogs have been taught for years. There's a dog named Fritz, big-ass Doberman. Normally he's on a chain, but always outside. Scared to live in but Jesus out of me, man. After 3 years in a row, winter, spring, summer, fall, this thing, and everything says, I want to kill you. And even though it's on that big-ass chain, you're just not comfortable because I'm a little kid. And I'm waiting for the bus one day, and I realize that Fritz is walking across the street, and the chain is dragging behind him. So somehow he'd broken the chain, and I'm like, oh my God, like this is the end of my life. So I'm kind of petrified. I'm standing still. Fritz comes up to me, gets up on its hind legs, and like hugs me. I swear to God. And it hugged me until the bus got there. And the bus gets there. Fritz dropped back down to all fours. I get on the bus, goes back across the street. And Fritz did that probably for about the next 9 months before he died. And I don't know.
All right.
But it's not like I ever went up and greeted him. It's not like I ever gave him a treat. Just one day, the day he finally broke the chain and he could have killed me, which he seemed very clear in his intent for the 36 months we had interacted. For whatever reason, that day, he says, I'm just funding you, man.
Yeah, he just wanted to aggressively hug you.
It wasn't like an aggressive hug, but it became every morning where I'd walk outside and there's Fritz waiting for me now and would just give me this hug. I'm like, what in the hell happened? And why were you so essy for the first 3 years?
I mean, I think it goes the other way, too. I got a buddy that had a giant dog for a while, and this dog was super nice and everything, but I remember once the dog was sick, and I went over to, like, pet it, and it just was like, no.
Yeah, when dogs get sick or injured, they definitely change their opinion. I had to take the dog to the vet, because for 2 years that I had him, he never barked. And I'm like, I just don't know if there's something wrong with him. The vet did whatever vets do and just said, man, there's nothing wrong with the dog. The dog doesn't care. And this dog, a big-ass Belgian Shepherd, didn't have to take it on a leash. Whatever you asked the dog to do is what the dog did. I remember I got the Sunday paper once. I thought, hey, sit down outside of the store. I go in the store, I buy the paper. I forgot he's with me. And it's one of the stores that's just not street level. You got to go down like 4 or 5 stairs. So I'm kind of reading the paper. I walk by my dog, go up the stairs, turn the corner. Then I'm like, oh, crap. I go back. He's still sitting there waiting for me because I had said sit and did not at any point say, hey, come on. So I was like, come on, we go home. One day, it was super hot. It was Baltimore hot. It's like 98 degrees. And it was left chasing sticks in the park. And I throw the stick. So just keep in mind, his testicles are hanging because it's hot. And I throw the stick. The stick bounces. And it goes over like this 3-foot wrought iron fence kind of thing. And he jumps over the fence and he grabs the stick. But keep in mind, he had a running start to go get the stick. But when he was coming back to the park, he's just going to try to do the leap over. And his testicle hits the fence. All right. But you hear it go like, pong. And the dog lands flat on its belly, all four legs out. I walk up to, because I'm kind of smiling, like, oh, dude, are you okay? And I put my hand up like I'm going to scratch its head. It's the only time. And I was like, I understand, all right? Yeah. So it took him about 10 minutes to recover. It's just like a dude getting hit in the nuts, right? You are, until you're ready to go, you're in that fetal position. So he's just kind of, like I said, just flat on the grass. I know that it's like I can't touch him because he's in a mood. And I can completely relate to this. We've all been there. Dog gets up, drops the stick, does not even look at me, and just walks straight home. He was just like, I'm done. I'm done. We got home. He climbed on the couch, which normally I didn't let him on. But again, I'm going to be kind of cool this time. And just curled up in a ball.
This is another weird physical thing. Like, you've been in that situation where you're having sex, and basically they turn into clackers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're really in the right position, the right mood, and, you know, they can be manhandled and everything else, but just one slight graze.
The graze is worse.
And the next thing you know, man, you are curled up in a ball. I mean, I don't know how they know.
I don't know how they know, but
this is acceptable behavior worse right now. Or
the last time I took a shot directly to it, because it had been years, man. You know, you get older, you tend to avoid that stuff. You're not doing the same stuff. My kid's 3 years old. We're wrestling around in the bed. He slips on his forehead. I mean, just smashes him dead on. So I'm like, okay, hang on, man. I put him to the side, and he's looking at me. And first, I'm laying in bed, and your hands instinctively go over your junk. Then my body starts kind of collapsing in on itself to the fetal position. And I don't know why this makes any difference, but I knew that I had to get out of bed and lay on the floor. I'm going to assume the exact same position, like I'm in fetal, and then I just slither onto the floor. And I'm just curled up. And my son, he's peeking off the bed like, are you okay? Did I do anything? I said, man, I'm fine. He's like, what happened? I said, I can't really explain it to you, but when it happens to you, you'll understand. It's about 3 years past. We're playing soccer. He takes one to the Jimmy. I mean, he just drops like a sack of potatoes. And I'm like, hey, man, do you remember all those years ago? And he vaguely did. I said, that. Like, yeah. That thing you were asking me what happened. I'm like, what's happening to you now? It was that. So I'm just going to leave you alone until you're good.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.